Das ist Ihre Millionenchance. Jetzt im Lotto-Jackpot. 19 Millionen Euro. 19 Millionen Euro.
Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bzga.de.
This is Esther Abrami. Welcome to Woman in Classical, the podcast where I meet with inspiring women from the classical music world and discuss their unique careers, the challenges that they face, and the insights that they'd wish to have known when entering the music business. Today, we welcome Dr. Shirley Thompson OBE, a composer, conductor, violinist, and academic. We will be discussing meeting the Queen and how to find the confidence to impose yourself in a world which makes you feel that you don't belong. Hello, my name is Esther Abrami, and I'm here today talking about women in classical. Next to me, we have the wonderful Professor Dr. Shirley Thompson OBE.
Yay!
I forgot the J in between, that is all. But I got the titles right. Thank you so much for being here with
me. Thank you for inviting me.
It's always so wonderful to hear from people in the music industry who I find really inspiring, and you're one of them. I wanted to start by asking you about your beginnings in music. And so how did you start? And most importantly, why did you choose music as your career?
I think on reflection, music chose me. And I think you have to be so passionate about what you do as an artist because it's such a hard road to travel. Unless you're very passionate about what you do, there's no point in doing it. That's and true. I found that the passion, the love that I had for it really has driven me through. So my beginnings were I heard a piano being played and I just loved the sound of the piano, actually. And as a small child, about 4 or 5 years old, I found a piano up in the attic next door to where we lived. And I used to spend hours just making the sound on it like this. And it was just magic. I thought, magic. It's making a sound. And I think on reflection, it all started there and up there in the attic, hearing music and in all its, without being composed, just the sound that the piano could make. Mm. And it all developed from there. I mean, I'm interested in lots of things, but I think at school I had a particular, I always did well in music as well as other subjects, but I was always good at music. And I pursued it through academic education and then professionally.
At what point did you say to yourself, I want to do that professionally? Like, I want to make that, you know, do that for the rest of my life as a profession?
I'm still thinking about that one. I'm still thinking about it. There came a point when I was writing music and getting it performed at places like the South Bank Centre and so on. And it was my peers, so my friends who were composers, mm-hmm. that were saying to me, oh, you're a composer. composers are Bach, Beethoven, Brahms. That's not me. You know, composers are other Beethoven. So, but the idea of it gradually sunk in. I mean, now all my students come to me at 18 saying, I'm a composer. I mean, okay. but for me, it was something, it was not the idea of it, I grew into it, and the idea that people perceive me to be a composer. I used to write music for fun for my friends, and I was somebody writing music. I didn't see myself as a composer. So my friends at school, we had a pianist, we had a flautist, we had singers, we had violinists. So I used to write music for my friends who played different instruments. So that's how it started, really.
I know there's many, but if you could pick one, what's the kind of biggest highlight of your music career?
Oh my word.
Wow. We can be more than one.
Okay, more than one. Well, I have to say, meeting the Queen, and for her, I wrote for her a symphony to celebrate her 50th anniversary as Queen. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a symphony that's the history of London in 1,000 years in five movements, parallel to the Beethoven Symphony No. 9. And so when I met the Queen and discussed it with her, the thrill of that, that I mean, absolutely, that was, wow, that was really exciting. It's, I'll never forget,
I can't, you know, imagine
that discussion. It was really, really something.
How was the discussion? Were you nervous?
I was very nervous, yes. I was nervous about making my bow, and, you know, brought my mother along to meet the Queen as well, and my brother was there, and yeah, it was quite an occasion. So that's really memorable. So that's memorable because it was very personable.
Yeah.
And also musically, it was really significant, in that at the time I didn't realize the significance of a woman writing a symphony. I was just writing a symphony because I thought everybody, that's what composers were doing in their attics, writing symphonies. And then I found out later through a magazine that I had made history by writing a symphony. I was the first woman to have written a symphony and conducted it in 40 years or something. And I didn't know that. So that was news to me.
Well, that is definitely a highlight. My next question is about basically challenges that we face in our life. I know we all face some, but I was interesting to know how, when you do have a challenge, how do you overcome it and how do you deal with it?
Well, it depends on the challenge. I think as artists, you're a violinist and so on, we have to be confident in what we're doing in our performance, and myself as a composer, and that confidence can be easily knocked because it's our heart. Mm-hmm. I think having the faith that the wonderful people around me that say that you're doing a good job, I think it's great to have people like that you trust to say, well, I think this is good or not good.
Oh, okay, but you have people that you
So I think having the right people around, people that you trust, I think it's a matter of trust. That for me, I'll go to Professor Orledge or Professor Talbot or various friends, Karen.
Yeah.
And say, well, you know, what did you think about that performance?
Yeah.
And they'll say whatever they say, but normally, so
but I see what you mean, having people who can give you an honest opinion. Yes, it's actually not so easy to have.
That's right. I think yes. And I think when I have performances in a concert hall and I get feedback from the audience, I mean, that really inspires me because normally I get really good feedback from audiences. I suppose critically within the industry, we might get feedback from newspapers and so on. Mm. And I read things that are not, to me, very particularly accurate. And I think, and lots of people are seeing that and you think, well, that doesn't really represent certain things. So that can be tricky, but that's how it is. That's how our industry is. But in the main, what the people I trust around say about what I'm doing and also what the audience, that's the biggest barometer for me of how I'm doing and what I'm trying to do. So with my music, I'm trying to bring some kind of entertainment on one level, but something interesting that people can discuss and talk about and feel something about.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess my next point would be, who did you look up to? And did you have any figures and women figures who you looked up to and who inspired you, you know, either musical or non-musical? I know for me, my mother's been a big, big figure for me, but I was curious to know with you.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely, my mother. It's always our mothers. Yeah, absolutely. She sang in a choir herself, but very, musical ear. And in fact, most of my family members love music. So certainly my mother, in terms of just generally how you present yourself and, how you conduct yourself and an aspiration to be the best you can be. Mm. And that was certainly my parents. They never said to do one thing or the other. I mean, several of my friends have said, well, my parents wanted me to be this or to be that. My parents never instructed me in that way at all. They were always very open, whatever you want to do, we'll support you. So I've always had a lot of support financially, well, many, morally, in many ways. Artists such as Nina Simone, I respect artistically because she was groundbreaking in what she did. as a performer and as a composer, artists such as Sister Loretta Tharpe, who in the early 20th century was an electronic guitarist and singer and performing to the public in, 150 years ago, whatever it is, and really started rock and roll music, but has not been credited for that. So all the groundbreaking women, really, and what they had to be very confident in what they were doing to continue it. So people like Maya Angelou, I admire very much, because although she's not necessarily seen as a musician, but as a performing artist, her performance poetry I really admire very much, and I think it's very lyrical and musical in its way. Compositionally, there's a composer I've just discovered called Florence B. Price, and she was writing symphonies through the 1920s, 1930s, that are only now being performed. Well, in fact, I discovered her for the BBC.
Yeah.
And she has been, her symphonies were really comparable with all the great symphonists of the time, but she was never credited. Wasn't credited. So all the women that haven't been credited for groundbreaking work, I really admire them, because if you're not credited, how do you find the faith to continue? You need some kind of endorsement to continue.
Absolutely.
And the fact that they all continued without any kind of endorsement, they continued anyway.
Actually, I wanted to ask, obviously, I know you said that, for example, earlier, you didn't realize that you were the first woman to have written a symphony in the last 40 years, but I'm guessing there wasn't many other women within the composing field when you were doing it.
That's true.
Did you even kind of realize that at all, or were you just, just doing your thing and not realizing that maybe there was not many of
No, I wasn't thinking about the issue of feminism and the issues to do with feminism at all. It came about conceptually because I knew that I wanted to tell the story of London within the framework of a symphony.
Yeah.
So I wasn't thinking about, who else has written symphonies? Well, apart from Beethoven, because I wanted it to be the four movements with the fifth movement being an anthem. So that's all I was thinking about. And I wasn't aware of women symphonists actually at that time. So no, I wasn't thinking about that. And often with commissions, you're doing it very quickly. You haven't got time to think, you've just got to do that not working. And so on. So no, I wasn't thinking at all. Simply the framework. In fact, when I use a symphony, it was seen as something quite anachronistic within contemporary music circles.
Yeah.
Opera, symphonic work, those large scale constructs were seen as old fashioned and passé. So I kind of resurrected the symphony. I was aware that I was resurrecting the symphony because not many people were writing symphonies per se. Even 20 years ago, it was very much about smaller ensembles. And that's why you'll find that a lot of symphonic music or orchestral music is from 100 years ago, because there wasn't very much orchestral music being written.
That's really interesting. Well, my last question, actually, but it's always my favorite one that I love asking to anybody who I find inspiring. And it is, what would you say as an advice to young musicians kind of going into the profession? And, what kind of advice would you have liked to get when you were younger?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great question. Gosh, I knew nothing about the industry when I came into the music industry, nothing at all. I came in as an academic. I came in from university. It's different for students now, I think, or persons coming into the industry, because you know a little about what to expect. But we were not given any kind of ideas about the industry. It was pure, music history, Bach, Brahms, Beethoven. Yeah. We knew about composers, and I knew how to put some notes on some paper. So I learned along the way. I listened a lot. So I listened a lot to what other composers were doing in front of me, before me. So I would say to listen, find out the musicians that inspire you, what were their routes to doing, you know, how did they get to the place that they were, yeah, how did they get there? And so I gradually learnt those things. And I learnt from musicians that I admired, mm-hmm. like yourself. So it was all learning, still learning, all learning. Because certainly classical music is in a lot of little silos. Commissions come from whomsoever you know. And so if you don't know such and such, you're not going to get a commission to do such and such. Yeah. So what I did was to listen. I think I would advise, you know, young people just to follow your heart. It really is. You've got to do what you enjoy. If you feel that it's not for you in any way, it's not worth pushing it because it's a very, I think for women, it's a very hard road for everybody. For everybody, it's a very hard road, but there's nothing like it. I mean, I think we're the luckiest people in the world if we're musicians and creative artists. I also say that, you know, but it has to be a passion.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting what you said about, you know, coming in and without knowing really how it works, because I mean, I feel like even in music college, when you go in, because I went to a music college and you study performance, but we studied performance and how to get better in our instrument, but we, you know, I didn't learn anything about how it worked in the music business. And it was during when I was a student that I started, you know, to understand, you know, how do you, you know, I said, make contacts with people who later, and it's not something that you really get taught in a way, even in music colleges. So it's, exactly what you said about, meeting other people and listening. And but that's why it's always so nice to actually talk to people who've, you know, done great things and actually get their kind of idea on it. Thank you so much for sharing all of
Esther. Oh, thank you for inviting me. It's a really interesting discussion. I mean, I learn a lot myself when I talk to artists such as yourself. So thank you.
Oh, thank you very much.